It's Mother's Day. So here's a step-by-step guide on how to make all those Proverbs 31 ladies feel great on their special day. Step 1. Locate some beautiful flowers. Moms love saving money, so try to find some free ones. Step 2. Get the flowers and the water as quick as you can. Can't have them dying on you. Step 3. Find some more beautiful flowers, but this time let the scissors do all the work. Come on. Perfection. Step 4. Find a bow or something to jazz things up a bit. Remember, people, it's all about the details. Step 5. Enlist your baby sister to help you make a thoughtful Mother's Day card.
I knew you couldn't be trusted.
Step 6. If you have another sister waiting in the bullpen, grab her instead. Preferably one that appreciates the delicate art of watercoloring.
You have a gift.
Thank you.
Hey, honey, I'm home. Hey, sweetie.
It's the thought that counts, I guess.
Mothers are great, aren't they? Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there who's a mom, who's wanting to be a mom, who's trying to be a mom, who's an adopted mom, and for all the moms out there that are moms to other people's kids as well. We appreciate you, we love you, and we thank you for what you do, for your sacrifices, and for your love for us. We appreciate it. You know, Proverbs 31, which the young girl says in the video, is a typical proverb to go to for women, but I really want to share just this last piece. And this is important because I'm going to bring it up later, but I want to read it for you now. Proverbs 31, verses 30 through 31 says this, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates." Let's pray. Father, as we open your word and we get into the word about moms today and about godly mothers, Lord, I just ask that you would impart wisdom upon our hearts, upon our thoughts, upon our spirit. We just ask, Lord, that you would fully and completely transform us to be who you have made us to be, to glorify you in all that you have done in every single one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Doing a Mother's Day sermon can be tough because you don't want to leave anybody out, and that's tough. For we want to honor the mothers out there, but we don't want to forget all those who are still trying. We don't want to forget all those who are future mothers, for those who have lost their children, for those who are still hurting because their children are lost. Today is about those who are mothers at heart, not necessarily physically. This is for all the moms who are moms to other kids, like most teachers, for the moms who love us in our toughest moments, for the moms who have tried their best and have tried and are tired but are still struggling through. We love you. We want to honor you this day by talking about God and godly mothers. Now, I'm not an expert on this because I'm a dad. Only moms can be experts on moms, okay? Ladies, you guys deal so much, I don't even have a clue. You'd have to ask my wife on how to be the best mom because she is. No offense, Mom. But the Bible gives us a pretty good indication and some great examples of godly moms who even in their struggles were loved by God, even in their imperfections were blessed for the things that they did, even in their hope, giving all they have to God. Just like what we're going to start here this morning, which is in Exodus chapter 2. Back in the Old Testament, we have the story of Moses, and that's what people want to call the story of Moses, but I'm going to tell you the story of Moses' mom. Because with every story begins a story with a mother. In Exodus 2, beginning in chapter 1, it says this, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with pitch and tar. Then she placed the child in it and put him in among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at the distance to see what would happen to him. Then the Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. And she opened it and saw the baby, and he was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. So the girl went and to the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" Many of us will be very quick to skim through that part of it because we want to get on to the Moses story, right? The great things and the plagues and how God delivered. But I want to slow down a minute here and talk about godly mothers. Because this mother feared God. For in this time, there was a decree about among the Hebrew people because Pharaoh said the Hebrew people have become too numerous. We got to get rid of them. I've got to kill all of the male children that are 2 years and under. Wipe them out. Save the ladies. Murder the men. And so here's this mother who feared God, and they had these wonderful women who were their midwives who helped them in childbirth, and the king of Pharaoh told them to murder these children. They came out. But in Exodus 1:15 through 17, it says this, "And the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shifra and Puah, when they are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth at the delivery stool, if you see the baby as a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live." And the midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt told them to do. They let the boys live. Now, to disobey a decree from Pharaoh meant death. It was a sentence of death. It wasn't like you went to jail for a little bit. They just come and they just put you down. That quick. Yet these women feared God more than men. Because that's what godly women and godly mothers do. They fear God more than women. And in this, they ended up saving Moses. So here is not only the midwife who spares Moses, but his mother who's hiding the child. Can you imagine? People coming by your house, knocking on your doors, going through your things, making sure you weren't harboring any children. That's what they would do. That's what the Egyptians would do. They would come inside of their homes and they would destroy the children they found. They would kill them on the spot. And yet here is Jochebed, which by the way is Moses' mother's name. And she's harboring a fugitive. Can you imagine a little infant child being called a fugitive? But that's what he was. He was an illegal baby, and she was hiding them against the will of Pharaoh, for she feared God. She wasn't going to murder her child. She wasn't going to murder a person, for they knew that was against what God stood for. They weren't allowed to murder. And so here she was hiding her son, because she would do what was necessary for her child for the sake of the Lord. Now, there's many women in here who said, "I would have done that. I would have hit my child. Heck yeah. Good luck, Mr. Pharaoh. Come on in here. I'll put you down. All right, everybody said, don't mess with Mama Bear, right? Anybody ever been around bears? Everybody seen bears? Boy, don't get around them when they got cubs. They're dangerous. They'll rip you apart. They'll destroy you. They'll give their very own lives to protect their children. You know, human women are the same way. Don't mess with their babies, okay? Not even when they're 15, 19, 25 years. Don't mess with their babies. They will get you, okay? But she did what was necessary for her son. And then she weaned him and fed him until he was of age. And then she did the hardest thing a mother can do. She gave him up. She gave him up to Pharaoh's daughter. That's a tough thing to do. But she knew the only way he would be safe is if she honored God and let go. And so she did. And we see that God honors these things in Exodus 1, verse 20 and 21. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous because the midwives feared God, and he gave them families of their own. See, God honors a woman and a mother when she fears the Lord, when she does what the Lord has called her to do, which is to raise her children, to protect her children, to love on her children, to do the best she can with her children. That is what God has called you to do, and to put away the things of men, to no longer fear men, but fear God alone, and God honors that. Another God-fearing woman that, you know, a lot of people, and I had to do some research on this. I had to do some backing and forthing and reading in context, because I'm going to tell you, the mother of James and John kind of gets a bad rap, okay? They think, oh, here's this woman, and she's all prideful and going to Jesus. And let me read it for you here real quick in Matthew chapter 20. Because as I read this out, I thought, what a beautiful thing. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 20, says this: Then the mother of Zebedee's sons, which is James and John, came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down. Okay, so therefore, she was not prideful. She kneeled down. She was before the Lord on her knees and asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other on your left in your kingdom. You do not know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? Yes, we can, they answered him. And Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup. But to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom it has been prepared by my Father. See, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, oh, at first, oh, you know, maybe it's James and John. They say, Hey, Ma, go ask Jesus. We can sit right and left. Come on, Mom, you could do it. Right, how many of us have been there, right? Ask Mom to go ask somebody something for us, right? Yeah, come on now. I know you're out there. There you go, thank you. I got one young man raise his hand. Thank you, sir. That's right, there you go, young lady. There we go, it just takes one brave soul, right? Amen. I've been there, tugging on Mom's leg. Mom. Can you go get me the drink at the thing? You go get, no, Mom. Can you do it for me? Come on. Now tell the man what you want. You can do it. Come on, tell him what you want. Could he get the Gatorade? Right? That is the scene we're talking about. It's a little bit different because it's a spiritual scene, but it is the same scene. Here you got James and John. They're like, hey, Mom, it'd be great if you asked Jesus about this left and right thing. You do that? Why don't you two knuckleheads go ask? Mom. We ain't doing that. We already been rebuked a couple times. We ain't going back that way. But I'm going to tell you, she wanted the best for her kids. How many mothers in here want the best for their children? Say amen. Amen. Amen, right? That's what they want. They want the best. You know what? Nothing less will do. And she had the boldness for her children to ask Jesus for this honor. Because that's what moms do. They go to the Lord and they ask in boldness and they say, Lord, give my children what they need. Bless my children with honorable places. Lift them up and make them strong. Let them be at your left and at your right, Lord, because she wants the best for them. She lost nothing asking the Lord for the favor. She was humble enough to go before him. What an amazing thing that she did. And sometimes our moms do that without us knowing too. Sometimes they just bring us along and then they go ask the embarrassing question, don't they? Or they embarrass you in front of everybody because they just want to love you and give you. I remember Andrea was Saint. You know, Saint, one time he used to be this cute little kid. Loved on his mama, grabbed on her, hugged her, love on her all the time. Then he, I don't know what happened, he turned like 15 or something, I don't know, 12. And all of a sudden, mom became this embarrassment, right? And I remember the one time when she rolled down the window of school, I love you, baby. Mom. She just wants the best for him. She wanted him to feel loved in his heart. She wanted him to be in the right place as he headed out into the world. And that's exactly what James and John's mother was doing. And the second thing she did in this is she brought out their boldness. Notice who answers the question. See, mom asked the question, let them sit left and right. And then Jesus says, can you drink from the cup that I drink from? Who responds in this? It's not the mother. She didn't say, yeah, they can do that. It's James and John. She brings out their boldness and they say, we can. And not only that, as Jesus comes back and here in 22 and 23, and he says, you will indeed drink from my cup. But he says, to sit on the left and the right, it's not for me to decide, that's for the Lord. That's for God the Father to decide. He's already prepared that place. But she brought out their boldness. You know, moms tend to do that sometimes. They bring out your boldness. They challenge you to be bigger than you think you are. That's the great thing. They inspire us to new heights. They inspire us to new places. That's what moms are so good at. Like leaving little notes like we saw up there on the thing. Well, no, it was a different video. Never mind. I watched a lot of moms' videos this morning. Anyway, they leave little notes and say, I love you, baby. You can do this. You got it. You're strong enough. Dads, we ain't that way. Dads just straight kick you out and say, get it done. And when it's done, you go, yeah, good job. Moms inspire us. They lift us up and they challenge us. I remember my mom, when I went to live with her over a summer when we were young and my parents were first split up. And before I even got there, she had signed me up for baseball. I never played on a baseball team before. I was like, you do what? But she said, you could do this. And so I went and did it. And I had a great time at it. And if it wasn't for her bringing out my boldness and my ability to go and do, I probably would have just sat at home. But she believed in me even before I was there. She lifted me up and she encouraged me like no one else can do. That's what mothers are great at. And we see this in the story of James and John's mom here. And she's encouraging these men to be bold. She's saying, stop and just go out and be bold. If you have a question for Jesus, just go out and ask him. He's always going to tell you the truth. He's always going to tell you where to go. He's always going to tell you which way you should take. There's nothing wrong with talking to Jesus. But I'm going to lead you there. I'm going to speak first, and then you have the boldness to speak second. Moms are amazing that way. Amen. To provoke their kids into greatness. And finally, we have mother, the mother of Jesus. Mary. Many of us hear the story year in and year out. I'm going to read this hopefully with a new frame of mind. You kind of have this new context of what we're talking about. We're talking about these godly mothers and what they are doing. And I want to read this for you again, but hopefully you're going to get a little bit different perspective as we pick up in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. It's a big chunk, but bear with me. It's a great, great piece of scripture here. And it says this: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel of the Lord said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for if you have found favor with God, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she said to be unable to conceive is already in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your words to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Here's Mary who loves in the shame. So you have to understand that Mary was a good Jewish girl. She was found favor in the sight of the Lord, which means that she followed the statutes of God. She did the things that her mother and father had talked to her about. She was living a good Jewish life as a Jewish woman. She had been betrothed to a man, which means that she is promised to this man, never having been with this man. So they still live separately in different homes, but he was betrothed to her like an engagement, but not like today where you get engaged and you live together. It's like engagement back then where you still live in mom and dad's house and he still lives over here on his own, and then you're just promised. And you can say hi and you can have chaperones, but there's no touching. Young people, no smoochy smoochies, no holding hands. All right? Nothing like that. Y'all like, "Man, these girls are crazy. I don't even know that guy." But you would get to know him and talk and have these conversations back and forth. They would become friends, and then they would become married. Usually the engagement or the betrothal would last 1 year. I know that's a long time not holding hands, y'all. But that's the way it was. And we knew that she had followed these things because she had found favor in the sight of the Lord. And so now she becomes pregnant, betrothed to another man. And the other man says, "Well, now look, we haven't held hands or kissed or done nothing, but you got a baby?" That was a death sentence for a Jewish woman. She was to be taken and stoned for the shame she had brought upon the Lord and upon her family. As a matter of fact, if we read through the story, we see that even Joseph was like, "Hey, look, I'm going to divorce her quietly so they won't pull her out into the middle of the street and stone her to death. I want her to be able to go on and live her life still." See, Joseph had cared about her, but he understood the shame that was going to be on her. He said, "I don't want to be a part of the shame that is brought upon her and upon God." He said, "I can't be a part of that relationship." So here's Mary in boldness, knowing these things as God is speaking out to him. And she says, "I am the Lord's servant." She puts God first, despite the shame it would bring. And we know the angel came to Joseph, said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. It's okay. That's Jesus. He's the Son of God." And he does. But do you think the whispers stopped? Do you think the chastisement stopped? But in that, she still loved and did what the Lord had called her to do, which was to bear Jesus, our Savior, to the world. Another great thing Mary did is she loved Jesus in the busyness. Look, I'm not here to say that what it would have been like for Mary to be the mother of Jesus. Look, that's a big task. I don't know how she did it. She obviously did an amazing job at it. But here they are in Mark chapter 3 and verse 30 through 35. This is one of the times where Jesus is out and he's curing people and he's out talking to the folks and he's delivering the good word. And it says this, and he said that because they were saying he has an impure spirit. Then Jesus' mother, so Mary, and his brothers arrived. And they were standing outside and they sent someone to call him. And a crowd was sitting around him. They told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked seated in the circle to him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Look, moms, I don't know, but that's got to hurt a little bit. Right? You're walking up, it's got the big crowd around. You're like, "Hey, I need to talk to you, Jesus." Jesus is like, "No, I ain't got time. I'm talking to the ones I need to be talking to right now." But I don't think she loved him any less. Just like when Jochebed had to give up Moses to the Pharaoh's daughter, Mary had to understand she had to give up her child to God. She knew she wasn't going to be able to be the center of attention. She knew she was going to have to sacrifice her own feelings, her own possession of Jesus. How many moms, they possess their kids. They're like, "That's my kids," right? "That's my child." I know that because I hear you guys at the stands cheering, right? I hear you guys calling out, "Woo!" Right? I'm like, "Well, there's a mom." But she would have to give that up. She was going to have to take a back seat to his ministry. And I'm going to tell you, that's not always easy. And even in the looseness of this illustration, but I remember my mother's reaction when both of her boys went off to serve our country. Better tell Satan, turn that phone off. He ain't going to interrupt this. This is the Lord's word. Satan, be rebuked, be cast out. You ain't going to stop this. When we both enlisted in the service, I know my mother was afraid. I knew she realized she would have to let go because we would go in and we would be deployed and we would go to war and we would go to fight for our country. She knew we would do our deed, what it would take. And she knew that both of us were probably steady bound into being these 20-year guy lifers. She knew that family vacations and holidays and all of these things that there was this expectation of would have to be put on the back burner. And she did it with never once complaining. Just as Mary never once complained to Jesus, at least in the scripture, "I want more time with you. You're my child." She never said this. And she never stood in the way of his gospel. Although every once in a while she would interfere, like at the wedding with the wine. And he said, "Mom, it ain't my time yet." She's like, "Y'all just do what Jesus says." She knew. She knew he would do it for her. And she would treasure those moments that she had. And Jesus was a dutiful son to his mother. And he changes the water to wine. And honors his mother. And I know those little things she would hold on to for the times like this. When we would say, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" They're the ones before me today. And she loved him until the end. John chapter 19. As we come to the end of Jesus' life, Verses 25 through 27, pretty powerful. And it says this: near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. There were a lot of Marys. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, he said, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Mother, the mother of Jesus, Mary, stood there. She stood there in the square as they judged him. She stood there at the pole as they beat him, pulled the skin from his body. She stood there in Golgotha as they pounded the nails in and they raised him up. She stood there as the blood poured out from the thorny crown upon his head. Tears shed, watched every last minute of the torture, and buried it as her own. Because that's what a mother does. Even in the torturous moments of our lives, our moms are there. And they're loving us. And they're trying to ease the hurt. They never abandon us. Even when we're in the wrong, they try to bring us back. I love that about moms. From my first bruised knee to my first broken heart. Being able to let go, no matter what my hurt, always being there. Bearing it with me in my tragedies. See, godly moms bear their children's hurts, even as their own. And what's more is they put their hearts to the side and they comfort their children. They don't sit there in their own sorrow. They save that for the closed doors. They save that when they go into their rooms and they have that very small moment of privacy and they cry out and they pray out and they lift their hearts to the Lord for encouragement. But for their kids, they set their hearts aside and they allow them to soar. I guarantee you Mary would have loved to have traded places with Jesus. But she knew she couldn't. She knew this had to happen. And she bore it with him till the bitter end, never looking away, never yielding, because godly mothers love deeply. They're amazing. And so as we read Proverbs 31, verses 30 through 31 again, I want you to bear those things in mind when it says this: charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. See, that's not what godly mothers are about. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done. Let her works bring her praise at the city gates. See, her works aren't necessarily the sewing and the needlepoint and the meals cooked and the houses cleaned and the jobs worked and the things done. It is the hurt they bear. It is the encouragement they give. It is the honor they give to their children. It is that possession of them and lifting them up to God as they seek God first, as being an example for their children. Just as Jochebed put Moses in God's hands, so too godly women put their children in God's hands. See, because moms have to let go. That's the hardest thing I've seen for a mom to do. I've seen it twice so far. One more to go. And they never fully let go. They just let that line out, ready to pull them back in when they need it and let them back out again. Putting them in God's hands, knowing that they have trusted the Lord for themselves and they can trust the Lord for their kids. For they trust in God, so should their children. Psalm 37, verses 4 through 5, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him and he will do these things. See, James and John's mother did the same thing. She looked for the best thing for her kids. She stepped out in boldness as she allowed them to become bold. See, she stepped out in that boldness, and then she took the step back. See, that's what mothers do and godly mothers do. They take that bold step in to be that example for their kids, and then they step back and they let their children blossom. Godly mothers are awesome sights to bear. And then you've got Mary. Definitely a godly woman putting the Lord first. From the beginning when she said, I am the Lord's servant. To the very end, when she travels to the tomb to put the spices upon her son's body, to seeing his raised self before her, realizing that all things had come true, that trusting in the Lord first made all of these fruits bear forth. And the second thing that godly women do is they seek Christ for their kids. Proverbs 22, verse 6, start your children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not depart from it. That's true words. Look, sometimes they're going to veer a little to the left, then come back. They're going to go a little bit to the right and come back. Look, I've been far left. I've been far right, right? But mom was always there as an encouragement to come back to God, to come back to Christ, to come back to the sinner. For godly mothers bring their children, exemplify their children back to the middle, seeking God and the best things for him. And it starts, guys, when they're very young. Look, if you're not in Christ Jesus today and you're a mom, I'm telling you, you got to get right with the Lord because you want to teach them and you want to start when they're little. You know, one of the sad things in my heart is that we don't have Sunday schools anymore, really. And it's not just us. It's a lot of people. Now, we got some children's church going on. That's great. But look, moms, you don't have to rely on Sunday school. You can teach your kids. You are bold enough. You are strong enough. You are smart enough. You are equipped enough. All you got to do, just like what I was talking about with Paul, just pull this out and read it to them. Read it to them before they go to school. Read it to them at night before they lay down at bed. I don't care if they're 5, if they're 50. Because Paul said we don't save with eloquence and wisdom. We save surely with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's based on this. You are powerful, moms. You're powerful because you have the word. We've got to seek what's good in God for these things for our children. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Godly moms live the word so that they will bring Christ to their children. For all the women out there, for the moms, soon to be moms, trying to be moms, for those that are moms who have lost, for those who are moms that are still searching and hoping, we love you. We honor you today. This is your day. If you got kids and a husband or somebody ain't doing something special for you, you tell me and I'll get on them. All right? We ought to honor our moms today. If you know somebody out there who's trying to be a mom, love them up today. Lift them up and encourage them today. If you know somebody who is a mom and they don't have their kids around, okay, they gotta go. I wasn't always there for Mother's Day. Love on them today. Lift them up today. Be with them today, for we love you guys. We think you guys are awesome, and we don't miss. Even though we miss telling you sometimes, I'm here to tell you today, you are much appreciated, and we are thankful for you. And I'm thankful for you too, Mom, if you're watching this. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for moms. From the beginning of time, when you sought the suitable helper in Eve, and you created her to be a mom, we're just so thankful that you put inside moms what they needed to give to their kids. We're so grateful for the heart of women because they're all moms at heart. They love to take care of us. They love to encourage us. They love to lift us up. We're so thankful that we have moms. Even though some have lost their moms, I know that they still love them. We just ask you can continue to bring that thanksgiving forth to us. Hey, we invite you forward. If you just need prayer upon your heart, one of our elders will be up here to just pray with you, to honor you, to lift you up in what you need. Whatever it is today, please come forward as the Spirit calls.